Journey of a believer. A believer's road is narrow, yet filled with sacred grace. Each trial becomes a lantern. Journey of a believer.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khatamin nabiyyin, amma ba'd, fa'audu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, as salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah, as salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another wonderful episode on the silsila Journey of a Believer. Wherever you may be, we hope that you and your family are safe and sound. Don't forget, when you make dua, also remember the ummah in your duas. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for the sake of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that he azza wa jal grants relief to the ummah, shifa to those who are sick and suffering, maghfirah to those who have passed on, and protection against the oppressors. Well, today we have another very important topic to discuss, and it is something which is prevalent throughout the world. It is found in our communities, in our homes as well. And many Muslims have been plunged into engaging in the sinful ideology, the sinful spiritual sickness. Today we'll discuss the gossip culture. And with that, backbiting, riba, which is a cancer of society. Before we move any further, let's remember the beautiful hadith, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So let's make some good intentions. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to the silsila for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well, inshallahul kareem. Certainly, time is fast, life is short, and the truly wise and intelligent person is the individual who prepares adequately for the grave and the afterlife. And for this, we need to do good deeds. We need to make sure that every single day, some portion of the glorious Quran, which is Kalamullah, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are reading. Every day recite as much as possible of salawat, durood-e paak, istighfar. Make sincere tawbah and repent in the court of Allah azza wa jal daily. Every day. Let's do our best to abstain from sins, to be punctual with the daily salas, to fulfill rights of others, to learn and practice the sunnah, learn something of deen, or at least a dua for the day. Because these things will help us. Insha'Allahul Kareem. They will help us in this world, the grave, and on the day of judgment as well. There's so many wonderful blessings for reciting Salat ala Nabi, Durood Sharif. The one who recites Salat ala Nabi just one time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive 10 of that person's minor sins. 10 rewards will be gained, and that person's status in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be increased by 10 times. Just for reciting once, the more we recite, the better for us. The more benefit we will gain, inshallah ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Whether it's a wedding, or a function, a religious gathering, even at the masjid, in our homes, almost no gathering is free from some type of backbiting, gossiping, slandering. Because it's easy to do that. It's easy to point out the faults of others. It's easy to carry tales from one person, one story from one person to another person. But when somebody starts gossiping about us, when somebody starts backbiting about us, how would we feel? Of course, we wouldn't like it. If somebody's slandering us and insulting us, we wouldn't like it. Then how is it possible that we so freely and so easily will talk bad about others, will assassinate people's characters? When a believer doesn't do this, a true believer stays very far away from these types of spiritual sicknesses. These are spiritual diseases, major diseases. And do you know, all types of spiritual ailments, it is obligatory for us individually to learn about them. What are the signs? What are the symptoms? And what are the cures for these spiritual ailments? The person who carries tales, the tale bearer, he heard something from one side, he's going and gossiping on the other side. Do you think this is a small thing? Listen to this blessed hadith. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very clearly said, La yadkhulul jannata qattatun, a tale bearer will not enter Jannah. Now tell me, serious? This is a serious matter. If I'm hearing stories from one side and revealing it to the other side, if I know about certain person, their secrets, their private matters, and I'm revealing it to others when it is sensitive information, and there's no real shar'i need to do so, will I be falling in the category of a talebearer? If I am, the hadith is there. A talebearer will not enter Jannah, paradise. So the next time you have a family function, an Aam Dawud, a religious program, an Urs Sharif, a Milad Sharif, afterwards when people are eating, when they finish eat, maybe they're having tea and biscuits, and people start talking, be very careful for this. It's a slippery slope, and very easily backbiting could enter the gathering. Tale bearing, slandering could enter. Buhtan, which is slandering and worse than backbiting. But we hear it, we see it. And let me tell you something. The backbiter, the slanderer, the tale bearer will always be there so long as they have an audience, even if it's one person. So even if I'm not doing the carrying of tales, even if I'm not doing the slandering and backbiting, but am I an audience for the backbiter? I'm guilty as well. I'm also part of that crime, of that sin. Because if I don't give a hearing, who is the backbiter going to talk about? Who are they going to talk to? Maybe they came across some sensitive information about X, Y, and Z, and they feel like, you know, they are bored, they want entertainment, and then they start gossiping. And lots of that gossiping is exaggerated, is backbiting or tail bearing. So remove yourself from that equation, from that gathering. Excuse yourself. Of course, in a polite way, either you can gently encourage the brother that, you know, this might be backbiting, let's change the topic, let's talk about something else. Or respectfully remove yourself, excuse yourself from there, so that you are not also responsible and part of that sin. So tale-telling or gossiping is talking about somebody to another person, but with the intention of harming them. It is a really despicable trait to gossip. Because if somebody comes to you gossiping about another person, then be assured that this person is gossiping about you to others. So it's a sin. It's a major sin, a major spiritual sickness. It is an act which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, it will please shaitan. It may please your ego, your desires, because you're talking bad about some another Muslim that you don't like. A tale teller, a gossiper, is a person who creates fitna, mischief, discord. Spreading tales is a cause of punishment in the grave, because it's a major sin. But it's happening so often, even at religious gatherings, as I mentioned, that people have become accustomed to it. They get bored. And what must we do now? Talk about the weather? Talk about what? Talk about this person. Hey, did you hear? This person here is a lazy fellow. Doesn't read his salahs. This person here doesn't know how to read properly. This fellow, that fellow. Talking about the whole world. What about myself? What about yourself? I'm not an angel. I've got so many flaws and shortcomings. I commit so many sins. I hide and commit sins. Let's talk about myself. Nobody will want to do that and expose their weaknesses and their vulnerabilities. They wouldn't want to do that because it's easy to talk about somebody else. Easy to point fingers at somebody else. But there's punishment in the grave. Those who indulge in gossiping are from the worst people in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such people cause separation between friends. They cause separation, discord and arguments amongst family members. And this becomes a habit. Tale-telling becomes a habit. And you may even find it in younger people, even children. So the moment you realize that, you know, your child or your grandchild is engaged in this, then do the tarbiyah. I'm not talking about screaming and shouting and hitting. No. In a polite way, explain to them that this is a very great sin. It leads to the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It leads to punishment in the grave, punishment in the hereafter, disgrace and humiliation on the day of judgment. So this kind of training we need for ourselves and for our offspring as well. Because many of us have this bad habit of tale-telling and talking bad about others. Some people, they have no fear. When fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is missing, then a person engages in all sorts of evils. It does not affect the heart or mind in any way. They don't even feel guilty. Because keep in mind the narration, when a sin is committed, a dark spot is put on the heart, appears on the heart. This is not a physical dark spot. This is spiritually. And if the person does not make sincere tawbah and repent, the dark spot remains. And when they commit another sin, another dark spot appears. If they continue sinning without sincere repentance, the heart eventually is engulfed in darkness. And then no amount of nasiha and advice will affect the person. It just bounces off the heart of the individual. The heart becomes hard. Again, not physically, but spiritually hard. So we need to think about these things. If it is a habit that we have, we need to work on breaking this habit. We need to work on eliminating it from our lives. Like the other spiritual ailments, and there's so many there. There's backbiting, there's slandering, there's jealousy, there's showing off, there's arrogance, there's so many things. There's even one called shamatat, which means, let's say another Muslim, for whatever reason you don't like them. When something bad happens to them, when they fall into some calamity, when they fall sick, maybe an accident, some musibah, some calamity, I get happy. This is dangerous. This is a spiritual ailment. And spiritual diseases are major sins. And major sins equal major punishment. Think about it. Because very soon, what if that Muslim is free from the calamity and that calamity enters my life? Then how will I feel? So be careful. Repent from all these things. It's no good for you and I. Break the bad habits of evil deeds. Some will even tell on their own brothers and sisters. Some will expose their own family members. We are there to hide each other, to cover each other. A spouse will go to somebody and reveal sensitive information about their spouse that's supposed to remain in the home. It's private and personal. What has happened? Where has that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gone to? How much do I fear Allah azza wa jalla's punishments? Remember, when that fear is not there, a person then engages in anything and everything. The person becomes shameless. The person loses their modesty, their morality, and they don't care. They just commit any type of sin. They consume haram and evils. So this idea of gossiping, it must stop. It's mentioned, there's a parable that a girl had passed away. And after the burial, her brother remembered that a wallet containing money had fallen into the grave. It was a substantial amount. When the brother returned, he got the necessary permissions to open the grave. What he saw shocked him. He saw a blazing fire in the qabr, in the grave. He ran away from there. He went back home. He asked his mother, "What did my sister used to do? What bad habits did she have?" His mother informed him that your sister had the bad habit of secretly listening to the conversations of the neighbors, and she would spread that gossip to different people, to different places. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to abstain from gossiping, from tale-telling and all sinful actions. His Eminence Shaykh Tariqat Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, a Kamil Wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, has authored an encyclopedia on backbiting called Backbiting, A Cancer of Society. You can obtain this book from Maktabatul Madina, the bookshop and publications department of Dawud Islami, hard copy or soft copy you can download for free from dawudislami.net. It's mentioned in Tafsir Ruhul Bayan, a hadith Qudsi is cited. Now, hadith Qudsi is a holy hadith which are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does this hadith Qudsi say? Whoever recites once Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and Suratul Fatiha by joining them together, meaning Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, till the end of the surah, then be a witness that I have forgiven him. I have accepted all his good deeds and forgiven his sins, and I will not burn his tongue. I will free him from the torment of the grave, the torment of the fire, the torment of the day of judgment, and from fear. How about we practice upon this? It's so simple, so easy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Milhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and read till the end of Suratul Fatiha. Because this is part of our preparation, our planning for safety, for salvation in the grave and on the day of judgment. And always make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the Adhabul Qabr, the punishment of the grave, and Adhabul Nar, the punishment of the fire, which is a reality. Jannah and Jahannam, heaven and hell already exist. And any person who denies it will lose his iman. There are so many beautiful advices from our pious predecessors with regards to controlling our tongues, with regards to not backbiting about others. It's like eating the flesh of your dead Muslim brother. We will detest it. There are so many pieces of advice. And ulama, scholars of Islam, they continue advising us that refrain from backbiting, refrain from being jealous, refrain from showing off, refrain from tale-telling, from backbiting. These things are no good for us. The mother of the believers, Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyida Lady Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, has mentioned that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills good for a person, then 1 year before his death, he designates an angel to him who keeps taking him towards the right path until he passes away with belief, with iman. Upon his death, people say that so and so died in a good state, passed on in a good state. When such a fortunate, pious person starts that journey, his soul leaves quickly from the body. At that time, he eagerly wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to meet him. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills bad for a person, then 1 year before his death, a devil is appointed upon him. And that devil continues to deviate him until he reaches the worst time of his life and then dies. As death approaches him, his soul begins to get trapped. at that time, neither does the dying person want to meet Allah Azza wa Jal, nor does Allah Azza wa Jal wish to meet with him. How is my end and your end going to be? We need to think about these things. If I'm continuously gossiping and backbiting and tale-telling, what will happen to me? Can I bear the punishments? The punishments are going to be there. For that person who did not sincerely repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, it's something for you and I to think about. And I mentioned that sickness of shamatat. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has told us, do not get happy, do not get pleased, do not express happiness at your brother's difficulties, lest Allah Almighty casts His mercy upon him and afflicts you with that thing. Instead, if you can help, help the brother. Whether it is financially, whether it's with moral support, or some of your time and good advices. Sometimes a person just needs somebody to hear them out. How many people, after counseling them, giving them advice, uplifting them, motivating them, the very next day, they will send a message, you know that, I feel so much better. I feel so good now that I can handle this. I can remove this problem from my life through the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes that's all they need. Sometimes it's a heavy weight on the chest, on the mind. They must be worried and stressed out. They just need to offload all of these things. So that's where, if you have the ability, the patience, the tolerance, the nerves of steel to hear negatives, give your hearing. Listen attentively. And where you can, give some productive advice. They will really appreciate it. And they will make dua for you. And duas, we don't know whose dua is accepted. So we keep asking people to make dua for us. Please make dua for me. Especially when you get a chance to ask the ulama and the pious people to make dua, request them to make dua of maghfirah, dua of forgiveness. That's what we are in need of that. We are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And so we should make dua for each other, make dua for the ummah. And there's enormous blessings in making dua for another Muslim in their absence without them even knowing it. An angel is appointed and says ameen to your dua and makes the same dua for you. Take for example, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that brother, grant him protection and his family. The angel says, Ameen. May Allah grant you also protection and your family. Oh Allah, put blessings in that brother's rizq, in his income. The angel will say, Ameen, and Allah grant you blessings in your income. Subhanallah. You can't see the angel, but it's there. So backbiting and gossiping is something that we need to think about seriously. If not, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with you and I, how can we bear the punishment in the grave? We will be all alone. We will be trapped. We won't be able to escape from there. Who's going to come and help us? But if we make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased, if we please Him, and we displease shaitan, he's going to whisper in the heart, in the mind. He wants us to gossip and backbite. He wants to break families apart. He wants to break the relationship between husband and wife, parents and children, brother and sister, between siblings. But we must immediately recognize that this is a trickery of shaitan. And he's using us as a tool. So many people out there don't know or don't realize that shaitan uses them as a tool to slander people, to backbite about others, to assassinate people's characters. If we are genuine, if we are serious, if we are sincere, instead of carrying tales, instead of backbiting, instead of gossiping about people, even if you notice something wrong, go to them. privately. This is the right thing to do. This is what our deen teaches us. Take the person one side, away from the eyes and ears of people, and inform them that you've noticed them doing something, and maybe they said something wrong, and they'll appreciate it. Because if you rectify somebody in public, you have humiliated them. If you did so in privacy, you have done them a favor. Sayyidina Shaykh Bakr Muzani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, says that when you see a person spreading the shortcomings of others, meaning the person who always reveals the secrets of others and backbites and gossips about people, then know that he is surely the enemy of Allah Almighty. And he seized by Allah Azza wa Jal's hidden plan. So let's not just live our lives as the ghafileen, as the heedless ones, the negligent ones. We should think about these things. And tawbah must be made on a daily basis. The noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, whoever makes his brother feel ashamed of a sin which he had previously already repented from, then that person will fall into that sin before he dies. If that Muslim repented, made tawbah, apologized, if I'm going to bring up that sin and make them feel ashamed and to humiliate them because of that sin which they already repented, Allahu Akbar, then I'm going to fall into that sin before I leave this world. Is that what we want? Do we want that? Of course, nobody wants that. So why don't we hide people? Fellow Muslims, you notice something, hide it, cover it. Yes, inform the person in privacy of the wrongdoing. The proof of Islam, Imam al-Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has mentioned in a very famous book called Minhaj al-Abideen that securing the tongue secures the deeds. Because whoever does not control his tongue usually gets embroiled in backbiting, in gossiping. And there's a famous proverb that whoever talks more tends to make more mistakes. The more a person speaks unnecessarily, the more mistakes he can make. And the more mistakes a person makes, the more sins he may commit. So better to remain silent, because silence is golden. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Journey of a believer. A believer's road is narrow, yet filled with sacred grace. Each trial becomes a lantern. Journey of a believer.